Let's read together Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 56. In these verses, we have the events in the Garden of Gethsemane, including the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. Let's begin by reading verses 31 through 35. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. After the celebration of the Last Supper and the institution of the Lord's Supper, the Lord and his disciples left the upper room and went out to the Mount of Olives. From the upper room, the Lord and his disciples would have proceeded down into the Kidron Valley and then up the valley to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was on the slope of the Mount of Olives. The walking distance would have been about a mile. Along the way, the Lord predicted that all the disciples would forsake him and flee when he was crucified. This would be in fulfillment of the messianic prophecy in Zechariah that's quoted here. "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. But notice the Lord's encouragement in verse 32. "But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." The Lord not only promised his resurrection, but the restoration of the disciples as well. He would join them again in Galilee, even though they had forsaken him. How gracious of the Lord Jesus. Peter claimed that he would never deny the Lord. In fact, verse 35 says that all the disciples said the same thing. The Lord told Peter that he would deny him three times that very night, a prophecy that was fulfilled a few hours later. Notice how the Lord's omniscience, knowing everything, is brought out here. He knew exactly what Peter would do and what Peter would not do. You know, the same is true concerning us today. The Lord knows everything about us, all our strengths and all our weaknesses. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and therefore he can help us in our weaknesses if we look to him. Well, so much for background. Let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Matthew chapter 26. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, God rebukes the spiritual sleep of believers. God rebukes the spiritual sleep of believers. Verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." The Lord came to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with his disciples. His soul was troubled. in view of what was before him, and he wanted his disciples to keep watch with him and pray. The Lord went further into the garden and prayed alone to the Father. Verse 39, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And again in verse 42, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. What was the cup? The cup was the cup of suffering that the Lord would endure as the sin bearer for mankind. The cup of suffering would include the wrath of God against sin and the shame of the cross and the temporary separation from the Father when God would have to turn from the Son as Christ became the substitute for sinners. All of this was involved in the cup of suffering. Was there any other way possible for the problem of sin to be dealt with, to be eliminated? That was the essence of our Lord's prayer. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Was there any other way? There was no other way. The Lord did not shrink back in any way, but went to the cross and drank the full cup of suffering and wrath of God against sin in accordance with the will of the Father. Now, while our Lord was praying, the disciples were sleeping, and the Lord had to rebuke them. Verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And again in verse 45, then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? They were sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Verse 43, and yet the Lord still rebuked them. Now, certainly there is teaching here for us, isn't there? There is a time to sleep, and there's a time not to sleep. All of us, I'm sure, have had the experience of falling asleep while we're praying, right? And all of us have had the experience of fighting to keep our minds alert during a prayer meeting, right? Well, what's the solution here anyway? The solution is to pick private prayer times when you're awake and alert, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, as the Lord said. And as far as prayer meetings go, try to get enough rest before prayer meeting so that you don't drift off, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord said in verse 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, there is not only the problem of physical sleep, but spiritual sleep as well. Too many Christians are not studying their Bibles and not growing in the faith and not alert in spiritual battle. They are in a spiritual slumber. We need to wake up. Watch and pray, the Lord said. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. God rebukes the spiritual sleep of believers. Doctrinal point number 2. God uses the sinful acts of unbelievers. God uses the sinful acts of unbelievers. Verses 47 through 56. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled, that it must happen thus? In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Judas betrayed the Lord by kissing him. It was nighttime, and this kiss of greeting designated who Jesus was to the large police force that came from the Jewish leaders with clubs and swords. The fact that Judas had to identify Jesus with a kiss indicates that the Lord did not wear some kind of white robe or look different from the others. Now, why such a large number with swords and clubs? The chief priests and elders probably feared a riot by the common people and the possible escape of Jesus. It was at this point that impetuous Peter drew out his own sword, verse 51, drew out his own sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. We know from John's gospel that it was Peter, and the name of the slave of the high priest was Malchus. Peter probably tried to go for the whole head of Malchus, but missed and only got the ear. We know from Luke's account of this event that the Lord healed the ear of Malchus. The Lord assured Peter that he did not need swords to accomplish his purpose. Why, at any time, the Lord could appeal to his Father for 12 legions of angels. A Roman legion consisted of 3,000 to 6,000 swordsmen. Now notice what the Lord says of all these events in verse 54. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? And in verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. This whole sequence of events was working according to God's sovereign plan of salvation for mankind. Through the sinful actions of unbelievers, the prophetic scriptures concerning the Lord's betrayal, suffering, and crucifixion were being fulfilled. God uses the sinful acts of unbelievers. Now, what about practical application? Are we willing to pray, not my will, but thine be done? Are we willing to pray, not my will, but thine be done? Too often we pray, not thy will, but mine be done. Now, we may not pray those exact words, but that is our prayer in essence. My health, my happiness, my success. Are we willing to pray, not my will, but thine be done? When we're facing difficult circumstances and times of trial and tribulation, it's not wrong to pray, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. I've prayed that prayer a number of times. That's not wrong to pray that way. But are we willing to pray the rest of the prayer? But Lord, if it is not your will for this cup to pass from me, your will be done. Are we willing to pray, not my will, but thine be done?